John chapter 16, and it's been a hard week, and although we have family members of ours that have been touched, and we are touched by those things, you know, we've not been affected directly ourselves. You know, it's not any of our brothers and sisters here in the church that are in the hospital or suffering from grievous things, but we've had those near to us that have been affected. And it's not that it's any less when we have one very serious thing that comes about. But when it comes that there's the phone rings and we have news, and then a text tone goes off and we've got other news, and then another text and another phone call, and it can really stack up on us. I know some of you've got anniversary dates of loved ones that are coming up. And when we hear about these very, very grievous, life-threatening or death, and other family members or our brothers and sisters' family members and that, it can't help but make us think about our own. It's just that way. That is the way it is. If a person cares, if we care and we're not, don't disassociate ourselves from things with apathy or that, if we care, we're affected. We're just affected by that. And that's the way it is in this life. And such heavy things. You know, we had Brother Nathaniel here just not hardly a year ago. And then his whole life has changed just in a matter of 2 days, at least a week. And bad diagnoses, we would say, for our loved ones and passing of loved ones. And it's just hard, especially when a bunch of it comes at the same time. What I want us to see tonight is what our Lord Jesus has told us, not so much in particular about what will happen in each of our lives. Those things, we will only know them when they come to pass. But our Lord Jesus has told us some things in advance. He told the disciples there in the day of his ministry things in advance before his crucifixion and his resurrection. And here in John chapter 16, verse number 1, we have a principle with our Lord that we want to focus on tonight. In John 16, verse number 1, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you," those disciples that were there in particular, "and to us, that ye should not be offended." We wouldn't be caught off guard or taken back or cause to run, if you will, or turn our back on our place with the Lord, to be offended. The Lord Jesus says that blessed are those who are not offended in him and his way and his doctrine. And that in that King James use of offense, it means to be, you're talking about something has happened and you're just not going to go that way anymore because you didn't expect that. You weren't counting on that, and so now you're going to go a different direction. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. So he says, I'm speaking these things to you, things that he's telling in advance, and with them in particular regarding himself, that they wouldn't be offended. While he was with them, he didn't have to tell them those things because he was with them, taking care of them. But I'm telling you these things now, they're in verse 4. So when the time comes that they happen, you can remember that I knew all about it before it came. And so we need to believe in believing our Savior's advance warnings and resting in Him in those indeed gives us peace. If we don't rest in Him, we won't have peace. And if we don't pay attention to Him about His advance warnings, then indeed we will be unsettled. But if we believe His advance warnings and we rest in Him, we will have peace and help in Him in spite of the storm that would be around us. In Acts chapter 14, verse number 22, we touched on this Sunday, we are guaranteed tribulation and grief in this life. It's just the result of sin. Sin is killing us. It's killing us a multitude of ways. No person is exempt. As much as people think that they are exempt, no one is exempt from the touch of sin and the effects of sin and the touch of sickness and death and that. It may not be our personal selves, but it will certainly be our loved ones and our brothers and sisters in Christ. The apostle and Barnabas were there going back, and they were confirming the souls of the disciples there in Acts 14:22 and exhorting them to continue on in the faith. You and I need to continue on in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, and reminding them that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. It doesn't say some, it says much. There's going to be trials. And remember, that word tribulation is talking about pressure. If we take a look at that in the Greek, it's talking about being squeezed. And I don't know about you, but one thing comes in, okay, well, we need to pray about that. And another thing comes in, okay, we need to pray for them too. And another thing comes in, we say, oh my, it was said today, what else can come? And then another thing comes in, and we find ourselves being pressured. And this is not even from us being touched directly ourselves, but it could just as easily be us who are touched. It has been in time past. So the Lord tells us in advance, there's going to be much tribulation by which we enter into the kingdom. And you and I, living in this time and living in our generations, we've been saved a lot of tribulation. We've been blessed in a free country. But it's not to say that it won't be it'll be the case in the future. Brother David in Psalm 31, Brother David in Psalm 31, it's a messianic reference, and Psalm, some of it is to our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what we need to remember. You remember this, Jesus quotes this as he, before he dies on the cross, Psalm 31, verse 5, into thy hand I commit my spirit. And that's where we need to rest, is in our Lord, committed to him. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. He says in verse 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly, he's got grief stacked up upon him. We're guaranteed, and our Lord tells us in advance, there's going to be tribulation, that there's going to be grief. Verse 10, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. Have you ever done that? The news comes in or the burden is very great and we sigh. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity and my bones are consumed. You know, our Lord Jesus, as is prophesied about him in Isaiah 53, verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And you know, our Lord Jesus knows about every grief, every sorrow, every burden that we bear. He doesn't just empathize. He doesn't try to stretch to understand how it is. But our Lord Jesus always sympathizes. And he tells us in advance, there's going to be tribulation, there's going to be sorrow, and there is going to be grief, but he is with us. You know, sobriety, because of the knowledge and wisdom of the Lord, it increases grief and sorrow. It says in Ecclesiastes, Brother Solomon writes, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Well, okay, I'm just going to stay away from knowing anything and I'm just going to be stupid and not wise. No. That doesn't work either. What this is speaking about in its greatest application is if we understand the picture that God sees, if we understand what our Lord has told us in his word and the ramifications and the reach of sin and disobedience in life, not that we are great, but our Lord is great and he knows the beginning from the end and he shares those things with us. And it's not that we can have a critical spirit at all. But when we see things the way the Lord sees things, and we have a heart that's like the Lord, we can see the path that some may take, or that youth look to take, or our brothers and sisters, or our neighbors, or our family members look to take. And by the lens and the Word of God, if we have wisdom from God, we can see what the end of that is going to be, because God tells it plainly. And in that, when there is wisdom, there is grief, because we see the pitfalls and the things that lie ahead we see how things work to bring things to a terrible, terrible end. With the increase of knowledge and understanding about the way the Lord works and the way that his kingdom operates, there's sorrow when a sinner goes a way that is a way of destruction. So there's going to be tribulation, grief, and sorrow. But our Lord has told us in advance. It need not surprise us, and he's promised he will be with us, and he will help us. You know, our lives are short. We think that our lives are going to last a long time. It's just a natural thing that we're going to live for, well, we just don't know how long we're going to live, but we know it's going to be a long time. But he tells us in advance. Brother Job, he says, man that is born of a woman, in Job 14:1, is a few days and full of trouble. And we know Brother Job was going through a terrible time. And so his attitude is and in a sense, his attitude is at the worst. He had been a blessed man for all of his life, but then the design of the Lord was to take him and to bring him to a higher plane. And he says there that man that is born of woman is of a few days. We just don't live that long. Even if somebody lives 80 or 90 years, that's just not that long. And full of trouble. Job says in Job 7, verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And that weaver's shuttle is, if you understand about how it is that fabric is made, there's threads that are running there on that weaving machine. And the shuttle is that it contains that cross thread that goes between the weave. And they take it, they make those out of wood that's very susceptible or conducive to being polished very smooth. So it can be taken at the wider that they weave it, they need to take it and throw it through there. And so if it's real slick, it'll go all the way. You can weave something wider and wider and wider. And so when they take the weaver shuttle, they pitch it through there. And he said, that's the way life is. It's just like that weaver shuttle going through there, just right now. And it's done. Moses' prayer in Psalm 90, verse number 9, for all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. And this is speaking about the long-suffering of the Lord, and in particular, what the Lord dealt with the nation of Israel there in the 40 years in the wilderness. But he says here, we spend our years as a tale that is told. We can tell a story, and it just doesn't last long, and our lives are found to be very, very short. Brother James, he brings this over and writes about it in the New Testament in chapter 4, verse number 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And this is just to have, this is not that we despair, because having the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're going to live forever with Him. But this physical mortal life, this is not our end all. We need to live it well. But it is fulfilled with sorrow. It's going to have tribulation. There is going to be grief. And it is very, very short. Lord, help us that we not say, as I've said many times, I'll do that another day. No, if we're going to do something, if we're going to say something, if we're going to get something right, we need to do it today. If you're here and you're not saved, you're called upon by the Lord to repent and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Because even being young, your life is like a vapor. Just like that steam coming off the kettle. It comes off, and then you just can't see it anymore. Brother Peter, he writes and quotes some of what's in the Old Testament in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 through 25. For all flesh is as grass, and we've just embarked upon onion cutting season. you cut the onions first, at least we do here. And you cut the grass, you cut the onions, and they dry up and blow away pretty quick. That's the way our life is. Like that mowed grass. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But praise be to the name of the Lord, and praise be to the Lord that we know this and we have this, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. We have the word. We have the advance warning. And in that we have comfort and help and blessing in our Lord. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. So again, if you're not saved, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the advance warnings of the Lord. We indeed have and will have sickness. And different ones have different things. We have things that affect us. Some were blessed with good health and not affected by things at all. Some are affected by things terribly. Brother James writes in chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Why does he say that? Because there is sick amongst us. It happens. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, the state-of-the-art medicine in that day. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And so we have here that sickness does happen, even to the children of God, but we have this great blessing of prayer. We have the great blessing of our Lord of medicine. Thank the Lord for medicine that he can take and bless and use. He has in many cases different remedies and such as that. He blesses those things, and he forgives our sins when we confess. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Remember, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much with God. And so, we have sickness, but we have our Lord, and he's able to help us and deliver us, and we can pray unto him as we have tonight for these that have been mentioned, and these of our brethren and loved ones, and that are suffering and have these grievous things upon them. We have sorrow, as we've mentioned. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the apostle does not want that church at Thessalonica, nor does the Lord want us to be ignorant concerning those that are dead in Christ. And he says, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. There's a sorrowing that goes on with the death of our loved ones and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And there is a sorrow of the world, of the heathen, of the unbelieving and the unrepentant. I was thinking years ago, I preached a funeral for some folks here in the community, and it was a terrible, terrible thing. It was so sad. They had no hope, no understanding of the eternity of their loved one, and it was just, their sorrow was just so terrible. It's hard, I can't even describe the grief and the emptiness that they had. Well, we do sorrow because we love. But being the Lord's children, and when our loved one in the Lord, our brother and sister that has a testimony of faith and salvation by our Lord Jesus, we sorrow in that we miss them, but we don't sorrow like those do that have no hope. And so, but we do have sorrow. We miss those that have passed on. And we need to know that we need to be a good witness of Christ. Again, if there's something that you and I haven't said that we need to say to someone, we need to do it today. We need to do it now, not wait. In Acts chapter 8, verse number 2, when Brother Stephen was martyred, it says there, they carried Brother Stephen to his burial and they made great lamentation over him. That was at First Church. They cared for him. They knew where he was, but they did sorrow for his life being taken as it was. Brother Paul writes regarding Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 27. Regarding him, he said, "For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." So we will have sorrow, but Jesus has told us that we will have sorrow. It's not that it's going to come upon us and we don't know why or where it came from. It's part of living this life, a result of sin, but our Lord does help us. Our Lord has told us in advance about the great wickedness of men in the world. He tells us in advance. And again, remember, he tells us in advance that we wouldn't be offended, that we wouldn't turn away from the faith, if you will, that we wouldn't lose sight of our Lord and what He's called us into. He's told us in advance in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's more opportunity for that today than there's ever been in our lifetime. To live righteously in this world and godly in this world and to be persecuted for it. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So when that happens, it's no surprise. We don't want it to be so with the leadership of our country, but it's no surprise that it happens. Our Lord's told us in advance. You know the one that can tell us all things with great understanding and in advance, the one, as I described to you Sunday, that the Scripture tells us our Lord is, that sees eternity and all of time equally. The only one that can do that is the one that's in control. Our Lord. And He tells us in advance that this is going to be the case. There's going to be wicked, wicked men. I've been thinking about this passage quite a bit here in recent times. I want to read it to you in Revelation chapter 6. As I've said here and recently, and I don't know if this is the beginning of the end or just another cycle for our culture and our nation. I don't know. I don't know that. But either way, whichever it is, our Lord is in control. And regarding evil men and great wickedness, the great wickedness of men in the world, I think we have a passage here that well describes what happens with men, with wicked and greatly wicked men and their desire to dominate people. We see here the book that only the Lamb could touch and take from the one that was sitting on the throne. He was the only one that was able and approved and able to look at it and to open the seals of this great book of the judgment of God. And it says here in verse number 1 of Revelation 6, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." And you know what? This is not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is talking about conquering men. And the world has never been more full of conquering men that have got their eye set on a great piece of this world or the world. And the Lord's told us in advance. He's told us in advance that men are going to operate this way. They've operated this way from time and antiquity. But there's coming a day that they're going to have their sights on the entire globe. And you know what conquering men bring forth? They bring forth devastation. Because they don't have any compassion. There's no value of life with them. There's no value or sanctity of freedom of the individual and of having peace for the individual. They have no thought for that. They just want to rule. And so therefore we see this after this one that comes on this white horse and one that has this bow and goes forth conquering. We see in verse 3, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, And there was given unto him a great sword. And so we see here that peace is taken away. And this red horse following this white horse is taking away peace and bringing destruction and this conquering, controlling, defeating the enemy kind of way. And what happens with that? Well, when there's death and devastation because of the conquerors, we see in verse number 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny. Very expensive. And three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Be very careful you don't drop it or spill it. Because what war does and conquering does and death and destruction does is it brings necessity and famine and shortage of food. And it goes on to say here, and when he had opened, verse number 7, the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell, or the grave, followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword. That's that first one. With hunger. That's that third one. With death. That's all three of them, and with the beasts of the earth. You know, that is not a good picture. But you know what? The Lord's told us in advance. Because whether it's on a small scale or whether it's on a large scale, you know, this is what's happened in Ukraine. Conquering. Death. Punitive action, famine, and death of people. So when that happens on a larger scale, whether it happens on a small scale or happens on a large scale, the effect is the same. And here in this, we're told that a quarter of the earth's population will be affected by what the Lord is referring to here. And this is the words from Jesus' mouth. But the Lord's told us in advance. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when it happens. He's told us in advance that we wouldn't be offended. Remember, he has told us in advance about all these, and he is coming back for us. Never forget that. In Romans 8, verses 26 through 28, remember that. Remember this, remember this, remember this. And all these things that the Lord's told us in advance, as weighty as they are, as they might even touch our own family and touch our own skin, touch our own persons, he's told us in advance, and he says this, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Hear prayer, one of the greatest things that we've been given, we can pray unto our Lord to help us. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, what God is doing, what his purpose and plan is. And every child of God and every part of the world and the way and the events to come in the world. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He tells us that in advance. Prayer. And we know that all things work together to them for good for them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So he tells us in advance. And he tells us that even the most terrible things that can happen to us or our loved ones or our families or our neighbors, our church, they all work for good. They all work for good. To those who are called, to those that love God. I want to read here in the end of the book of Revelation what Jesus says as he wraps up this book and Brother John is writing. And remember that Jesus says this unto us. In verse number 6 in Revelation 22, and he said unto me, these sayings are true, are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. He's told us in advance. And because of our Savior's advance warnings, and if we rest in him, we can have peace. He says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Keep his word. Obey him. Have confidence and faith in him. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, the angel did to John, see thou do it not. Don't worship me, John, for I'm thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book worship God. That's what you and I need to do. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. We are not at this point, but this time is coming. We've been told in advance. And behold, I come quickly, Jesus says, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha, the beginning, and Omega, the end, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's our Savior. He's told us in advance. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city of our Lord and that new heaven and that new earth and that new Jerusalem. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. All those things that we as the children of God have been rescued from. We belong in with the Lord. And all those things are without. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. In advance. In advance. I am the root and offspring of David. And the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, he testified these things in advance that we not be offended, but we might know that he knows the beginning from the end. He knows what lies ahead. And in that we can have great rest and comfort in him. He says, surely I come quickly. Amen. And Brother John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Remember, our Lord has told us in advance all these things that we've mentioned tonight, and there are others, but he's told us in advance, and he is coming back for us. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus in John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. He's told us in advance. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. Believing our Savior's advance warnings and resting in him gives us peace. We're not going to have a song this evening. We'll just mention something to you, and then we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed, take a break for our business meeting. We need to know the promises of our Lord, and we need to know what He's told us in advance. And the only way, as I mentioned Sunday, the only way that you and I can know that, we can know, and it'll carry us so far, knowing what others know that they have taught us and told us about in that. But you and I, we need to know the promises of our Lord, what He's told us in advance, and we need to know them for ourselves. And the only way that we can do that is to consume His Word. We need to read, listen, feed on His Word, and learn what He's told us in advance. Because when the pressure comes, when the tribulation comes, when the grief and the sorrow comes, you don't want to be offended, do you? Offended in Christ? Offended at Christ? No, we don't want to. As His children, we don't want to be found offended in Him. But we need to know His promises, what He's told us in advance. And we need to pray to Him that He'll help us, that He'll help us, the individual, that He'll help us and our families, help us in our church, pray one for another. And know what He's told us in advance, that we might cleave to Him and His promises and to us. And that when things get hard on the skin, when our sorrow is great and our grief is great, we'll remember that our Lord has told us about that. And we'll remember that He is interceding for us. And we'll remember that we can pray unto Him for the help that we and one another needs. We can supplicate for others. And we pray He'll help us that we might be faithful till He comes back for us. If you're here and you're not saved, Jesus has told you in advance what it's going to be. Without the Lord Jesus as Savior, you're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Without Him, you have no help and no hope. It's not something to put away from you, not something to push away. But we pray that you would see your sin and your great need, the awfulness of your sin and your need of a Savior, and that Jesus is the only one, that you'd repent of your sins and believe and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, that you'd receive Him, that you'd believe what He did on Calvary nearly 2,000 years ago, to believe and receive that He did that for you, not to believe that He did it, not believe that He did it for others, but that you would believe and receive that He's done it for you, because you're the sinner that needs saving. Your soul is the most important and most precious possession that you have. And the Lord Jesus is the only one that can save you. We point you to Him. Believe in Him. Trust Him without delay.